This is what we're going to do. I want you to open up to Psalm 103 and stand with me as we read it. This is God's word from Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Have a seat, and let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we ask that you will show us Christ, show us your truth through this word, and that you will quicken us as your word comes to us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Brothers, have you grown dull spiritually? Perhaps you pray less than you ought or would like. Perhaps there are burdens in your life that are weighing you down that have made you grow dull. Is there perhaps some sin that you're treating lightly or ignoring or hiding? Perhaps there's a big sin that you feel is too big to even deal with, but it haunts you. No matter where you are on this spectrum, you need to excite your soul in blessing God. You need to return to him in Christ. Look at how this psalm begins and ends. Bless the Lord, O my soul. It's the first phrase and it's the last. This is a command. This psalm teaches us to quicken or to wake up our souls by bringing us to the place where our deepest need is met in the middle of this psalm, God's forgiveness of us. Our deepest need is met there in Christ. And from that forgiveness, how from God flows every blessing. Now we start with the beginning of this. We start with the command, which is a command for you to talk to yourself. The command is for you to talk to your soul. You are to take the voice here. You are to enter into this. You start by talking to your soul. Look at what it says. You need all of the blessings of Yahweh. You are told to bless the Lord with all that is within you. You are to bless his holy name. You need, to put it this way, you need all of you to bless him, not just with your words, but with your soul. All of you needs to be blessing him. What does it mean to bless Yahweh? That word, looked it up, went through all of my research, and this is my summary. It is for you to state or declare the greatness of God, to proclaim the glory of God. You do that with your words, but here the command is for your soul to do this. Your very soul. Look at verse 2. You need to remember his benefits, the good things he does for you. And this continues. Who does these things? He forgives all your iniquity. He heals all your diseases. Now, what does that mean? That's a verse that has been taken out of context. People that are of this word of faith framework will say that if you have enough faith, then you can have all of your diseases healed. This is a favorite verse. I don't doubt that God will heal every disease, but how and when he does that, that belongs to him. It is true that he heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. And he is the one who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. You need to learn to talk to your soul to bless Yahweh, to bless the Lord, because of all of his goodness to you. He does all of these things, and the result at the end is that your youth is renewed. You become quickened. Youth renewed is strength again. You become stronger, and your soul needs that. Have you noticed in the Psalms that we've seen this week that there's a command to praise in order to enter into the goodness of being close to God? And then from that goodness and closeness to God, it results in praise. It's sort of a symbiotic thing, isn't it? And that is where we need to be. When we drift away from it, we need to wake up our souls. So the first part of it here is the command for you to wake up your soul, to bless the Lord. Now, he forgives all your iniquities. And here's a question that we have to ask. When you're learning to talk to your soul, you need to remember certain things. Because if you are going to bless Yahweh, you have to be able to approach this one who dwells in clouds and thick darkness. Learn to talk to your soul and remember that he forgives all your sins. He forgives all of your sins. He forgives, brothers, all of your sins. Do you know that God forgives all of your sins? We're men that sit with other people and we preach to them and we tell them, God forgives your sins. We tell them and we counsel them to say, you need to get past this. You need to understand that God actually removes sin from you and he frees you from it. Brothers, do you know that God forgives your sins? I picked up off the shelf over there, volume 6 of the works of John Owens, the one with the white and green labels. And in that, there's an exposition of a psalm. And Owen takes about 400 pages to do an exposition of that psalm. And most of it is on verse 4. And the reason he wrote this psalm was because another friend of his that was in ministry at the same time was overwhelmed with guilt for sin that he had committed. And Owen wrote that whole exposition because of this friend, because this friend didn't realize that God forgives our sins. He actually does. Brothers, the way you counsel others, the way you preach forgiveness to others, you need to tell that to your own soul. You need to know that you have the same forgiveness in Christ that you proclaim to others to bring healing and wholeness to their lives. Do you know that it's for you? In Christ, it is for you. looking at this next section, it's quite long, verses 6 all the way down through 18, I want us to notice a couple things. This is a longer section which is framing three verses that are just golden gems for us and that will drive home that truth of the one who forgives all your iniquities, all of your sins. At the beginning of this, we see that this is covenant hope. It's covenant language. Verses 6 through 10, he refers to Moses because God made this known to Moses. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Remember how the Lord saved Israel, brought them out of the wilderness, and then he gave the commandments at Sinai to Moses? When he did that, if you look back at when this next verse is quoted, he made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. And then there's this quote from Exodus 34:6, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love." Now that was the second time Moses went and got these tablets. God was being merciful and gracious to his people. Why? Well, because he set his love on them and he wouldn't change. And whenever he came down and he stood with Moses in the cloud, it says, this is Exodus 34, "He appeared and he passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin.'" They had sinned. Moses was angry and he smashed the tablets. God did a second edition, tablets 2.0. Why? Because God is constant. And the covenant here shows that God cares and he will not always chide. He's patient. He does not always deal with us. Do you see that? According to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. Again, this is the heart of it. This is the heart of what you need to know. God forgives sins. In Christ, he forgives your sins, mine. Now, after it, we get another thing that is just glorious, that the weakness of man, that the weakness that we have doesn't change God's constancy. But look at these three golden gems. This is the peak of this psalm. Verses 11, 12, and 13. "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him." Brothers, with these three verses, what I want you to do is I want you to think about them. I want you to put these in your mind and let them sink in, because this will help you quicken your heart, your soul, so that your soul will bless Yahweh and you'll be rightly oriented in him. The first one is a matter of greatness, of magnitude. He says, as high as the heavens are above the earth. I think that this psalmist of David, he looks up and he thinks, what's the biggest? And he looks up at the heavens. He looks up at the stars and the universe that's out there. And he says, that's as big as it gets. And he said, that's God's hesed. That's what it's like. He says, that is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. In other words, those that are in the covenant. Secondly, as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Now, this comparison is an idea of distance that cannot be measured. You've heard this. If you measure in the earth, the north and the south, you reach the farthest north and the farthest south. But there's a poet that said, east is east and west is west, and ne'er the twain shall meet. Well, Alec Mateer said about that, I'm not sure what he meant, but he got his geography right. You can't reach the end of east and west. It just keeps going. There's not an end point. And here's the point. When he removes your sins, now at this point, I want you to think about some. Maybe there are some thoughts that come into your head that shouldn't be there. Thoughts of anger or bitterness. Thoughts of lust. things that you know before a holy God, these are not pleasing. These are not right. Perhaps there's some sin, some pattern in your life. Perhaps there's something that you have done in your past that still haunts you. I want you to think of this. The point of East and West here is this. When he removes your sin in Christ, it is gone perfectly. It is gone completely. It is removed from you. That's the second of these gems. The third is this. As a father has compassion, shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Again, it's those who fear him. It's this covenant language. It's those that are inside this covenant. I have 5 children. When I teach them how to walk and I use my little fingers and they toddle along and then I let go and I see if they can do it, when they fall, I don't say, "We're O'Tools, get up." Why? Why? Because I'm compassionate. Well, you might think I would do that, but Jeremy Meeks would do that. No. He would do that to the students. No, right now I have 3 teenage sons. When they were little, I picked them up, I held them, they cried, I was compassionate to them because I love them. And I just can't change. And now they're teenagers and they're giant and they look me in the eye and they have deep voices and they stink, frankly. And guess what? They still fail. And I still want them to succeed. I still want them to walk with the Lord. I want them to be good students. I want them to choose wisdom in life. And whenever they fail now as these giant, smelly teenagers, I still have compassion for them. And that's what he's saying here. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. It doesn't change. And then there's this last section that also frames these 3 gems. And what he's saying here, again, is this. Our weakness, our frailty, does not change his constancy. The reality of God towards us in Christ is that he never changes. He never does. We do. We fail. We grow weak. We die. But look at what he says. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. It's funny because we think we might have to live up to something for God. We're in a relationship with the perfect one. But we get sick, we deteriorate, we die. There are even things that happen to us. Look on the other side of this, where he says, the Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Our physical frames wear out. We sin. But his righteousness to children's children, his steadfast love of the Lord never, ever ceases. It's from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. And then again, this covenant language in 18, on those who keep his covenant. Now, I've held back on this, but all this covenant language is a promise. And it tells us that this is true for you and for me if we're inside the covenant. Well, how are we inside the covenant? Even with Moses, he knew that something else would come later. Jeremiah said there will be a new covenant. And in the new covenant, that will be perfect. And when Jesus sat down with his disciples on the night before he was crucified, when he was betrayed, he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." Jesus established the new covenant. So when we read in 1 John, we read some things about this that keep us very much like this. It says, if we say we have no sin, we lie and we deceive ourselves. But if we confess our sins, then he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's the same language of Psalm 103. It's the new covenant. And in Christ, this is the reality. This is something then that Stephen Charnock says about this. The principal intent of Christ was expiation of sin, redemption from iniquity. The purchase of other blessings was consequent upon it. There is no blessing to be enjoyed when there is sin with us. I mean, think about it. You have to quicken your soul to remember his forgiveness so that you can bless him with all of who you are. But when there's sin in your life, hidden in darkness, kept inside, and you don't have forgiveness, do you know that sin grows best in darkness? Do you know that sin rots in the dark? That it has its best power when it is left alone? But if you bring it to the light and you confess it, and you know that you can, because in Christ you are completely safe, and he will do all of these three gems for you. His hesed. Let me visit that again, because this is a word that you must know. What is the definition of hesed? It gets translated differently in different scriptures. It's this. It's God looking at his covenant people and saying, you're mine. I am your God. I will do good to you, and I will never change my mind. And that's the hesed that we have before God in Christ, in the new covenant. Now, in this last section, he says, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. And then he goes into this series where he says, bless the Lord. He says, he's talking to angels. He says, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. He's talking to angels. What's going on? And then he says this, bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. And then he ends with this same phrase that he began with, bless the Lord, O my soul. This is what I think is happening, brothers. When your soul is awake and you are free from sin and you know his keeping covenant love, you are quickened in such a way that you are who you ought to be. You are something like what Adam was before the fall, only better. And you know God, and this is what happened. We talked about this in our small group. There was dominion given to us, to mankind, given to Adam, Genesis 1:28. And he was to rule over all of God's creation. I think what's happening here is he's getting back to everything. And he's saying, I need to bless Yahweh because he's amazing. And I love him and he keeps me and I'm his. And then he's saying, I need everything else to do the same. I need you angels to be blessing Yahweh. I need everything that he has made to bless his name. God is the one who has dominion over all, and the result is that we need all creation to bless Yahweh, to bless the Lord Jesus, who keeps us in this new covenant, who is this God. When you are fully alive and when you know this forgiveness and this security, and your soul is alive to bless him, then there's this goodness that you experience, and you want all of creation to be brought into alignment with it. That's what we do as ministers of the gospel. We preach forgiveness. We preach the cross. We preach Christ. And these things that are real in the three gems in the middle of this psalm, so that we can bring things into alignment. So brothers, talk to your soul. I think we're going to sing 10,000 Reasons. That's a great song. Whoever thought of that? Probably you, Nathan. Talk to your soul. Remember all his benefits. Let's pray. Let's talk to our souls now. And then let's sing. And let's try to quicken our souls to obey this psalm. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, right now we ask that you will help us to do what this psalm commands, to remember all of your benefits in Christ, your forgiveness of our very sins, our every sin, and how you remove them, and how you are compassionate, and how the greatness of your keeping love keeps us. We want to praise you now with all that we are. In Christ's name, amen.